It's 9:30 on WICC. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Coffee Break Chat. Joining us in studio, Bill Bloss from the law firm of Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. Bill, thank you so much for coming in. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. My pleasure. Thanks.
What a timely chat with everything that's going on with the election. And, unfortunately, Connecticut isn't... this isn't new in Connecticut, everything that's been going on over the last couple of days with the election. And, to have you in here specifically, kind of give us your background. Do you have experience when it comes to any sort of election-type issues?
Sure. Just this year, I represented Kevin Lembo, who just won his election to be the comptroller of the state of Connecticut. I represented him in his campaign finance case this summer in Hartford Superior Court. I represented State Senator Ed Gomes in a case a few years back that really opened up the nominating process for both the Republicans and the Democrats. And I've done some challenges of General Assembly elections through the years.
Now, it appears this year there's a few things. And let's take this specific situation in Bridgeport about the Registrar of Voters not ordering enough ballots. The Secretary of the State, Susan Bicewicz, has said several times that in 2006, when the optical scan machines coming in, they had a chance to put in there requiring registrars of voters to order the same amount as registered voters. And then her quote was, which I thought was a classic quote, you can't legislate common sense. So, really, what's the point? Kind of explain what the law is when it comes to the registrar of voters and what their obligation is.
Sure. The irony in all of this really is that the whole optical scan machines with the paper ballots, the machine-readable ballots, was designed to be a fail-safe protection, frankly, for voters. If you'll remember, back in 2000, there were problems in Florida with electronic voting. There were problems in Ohio with electronic voting. And the people may remember, it's funny how we forget, but there was a concern that using these kind of ATM machines that Diebold made and so forth that left no paper trail was going to lead to vote fraud, was going to lead to a lack of confidence in the outcomes. So Connecticut, to its credit, I think, adopted a provision that required the use of these machine-readable ballots. Mm-hmm. And that way you could compare the totals with the actual pieces of paper where people circled off their votes. And if you compared that to the voter lists and, 10,000 people voted and you've got 10,000 paper ballots, you can have some assurance that the election worked.
Right.
Well, the problem was, and obviously it wasn't put into the legislation, and really the legislation has to be revisited, the statutes, but there was no specific requirement for how many ballots to order. And my guess is there's going to be some blame to go around, more than just to the Bridgeport Registrar, and I think they've accepted some level of responsibility. My guess is there's a form somewhere that has somebody in the Secretary of State's office signing off on the order as well.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, they put the blame solely on the shoulders of the Registrar of Voters in Bridgeport. I mean, she's come out several times and said, I'm not taking any responsibility for this. This is all on them.
Right. Well, my guess is we're only 48 hours after it.
Yeah.
My hunch is that there's going to be more than one finger in this pie.
Bill, explain how you can challenge results. I think a lot of people might sit here and we're awaiting a press conference this morning from the Republican candidate for governor, Tom Foley. Rumor has it that he may announce some sort of, legal investigation, something along those lines when it comes to the decision at this point. Where legally can we go from this point forward?
Well, Connecticut law has a provision to challenge elections or elections in particular towns, election decisions, either before or after an election by a voting official, and cases have been filed under that statute many, many times over the history of the state. Chris Caruso did, I think, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. or 3 years ago in the mayoral election here in Bridgeport. The problem and I'm not going to comment on the Malloy Foley issue specifically. I'm just going to talk generally.
Sure.
The standard is extraordinarily high under the state law. Basically, the standard is that to successfully challenge an election, the plaintiff, the person who is the losing candidate, has to prove that but for the decision made by the election official, the results of the election would have been different. And that is extraordinarily hard to do, except in the case of just out-and-out fraud. If there were, for example, 10,000 people crossed off on the voter list and there's 18,000 ballots, or there is tangible evidence, not just a hunch, not just a suspicion, but tangible evidence of votes not being counted or something along those lines. That's the type of thing that might lead a judge to reverse an election. But it is a high, high standard. The number of successful challenges under state law over the last 50 years are very, very, very few.
And take us through, Bill, the 11th hour on Tuesday, a judge made the decision to extend the polling hours in Bridgeport. I know you weren't exactly in the room when it was taking place, but explain that process to us, because I know the Secretary of the State needs to somehow call on a judge. Representatives from the Republicans and the Democrats need to all be in the same room. I mean, what's the process to go to a judge to have them make such a decision to extend the polling hours?
Essentially, what would have to happen is somebody would file a lawsuit and say, look, we've got a problem here. We need this extraordinary relief, as I think what the phrase that the Secretary of the State used, and I think that's accurate, and to say, look, we've had a problem with voting. And there were problems, no question. There were people, there were lines. People were told to either come back or wait, and that's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to wait in line for an hour to vote in the United States in 2010. It's just not.
Especially with these new machines, right? They're supposed to be quicker and more efficient.
Yeah, I think Mayor Finch certainly did the right thing by trying to get to the bottom of what can be done to make it easier for people to vote, because you just shouldn't. It should be easier to vote than it is.
Yeah.
You shouldn't force people to take an hour out of their day to vote. And in the smaller towns, you don't.
Right.
You know, I live in a smaller town. It took me, I was in and out in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw the lines. I was up at Winthrop School on Tuesday. I saw the lines, and I saw people look at the line and turn around and go home.
Sure.
That should never happen in the United States, and it shouldn't happen in Bridgeport.
Absolutely. So where can we go from here? I know that the Secretary of the State-elect, Denise Merrill, has already come out and said priority number one for her is to make sure something like this doesn't happen again, what happened in the city of Bridgeport. You know, Bill, where can we go from here to make sure something like this doesn't happen again?
Well, the easy fix is, and the obvious one, is to make sure the registrars order adequate number of ballots. But that's, you know, I think Secretary Bicewicz is probably right on that. Do you need to legislate common sense?
Well, yeah.
Maybe, you know what? The answer may be yes.
Yeah, but, apparently yes.
Yeah, but the other thing is the statutes in Connecticut really have not been rewritten since the days of the machine votes. You know, and boy, were there some old-timers up at Winthrop on Tuesday that were ruining the day that we did away with the machines, because you frankly didn't have these problems with the old machines. But in any event, that's gone. We're not going to go back to machines as a result of the Help America Vote Act, the federal law. The statutes need to be rewritten. I think there has to be much better training of poll workers, including registrars and moderators, and they do tremendous work, and it's hard work, and it's thankless. And boy, if there is one person I don't want to be today, it's a Bridgeport polling place moderator.
Yeah.
Who's going to want to do that next time?
But yeah, I know.
They need to have more support, and we need to just make it easier. You shouldn't have to wait in line for an hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have to be assured that your vote's going to count.
Sure.
Otherwise, all the enthusiasm, all the interest goes out.
Yeah. Bill, thank you so much. Timely information. I mean, this is so crucial. I'm sure that this is all going to be played out. I mean, if a challenge is met, if a legal challenge, what kind of speed do you foresee? I mean, I would assume they want to try and get this resolved as quickly as possible, but how quickly could this go?
It would have to go quite quickly. In order for a challenge to be filed, it would have to be filed within 14 days of the election. And so, and then a judge of the Superior Court would do whatever the judge thought was appropriate. But the odds of there being an Al Franken situation where Norm Coleman, where there's months and months of counting, and it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. That won't happen in Connecticut. And the law simply doesn't allow it here. There's no hanging chad. It's not going to be a vote by vote issue, and it's just not going to take months. This will be over one way or the other relatively soon.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bill Bloss, as we said, from the law firm of Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter right here in Bridgeport, same building as us at 350 Fairfield Ave. So we appreciate his time this morning for the WICC Coffee Break Chat.